Assassin's Creed, your number one podcast for all things Assassin's Creed.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to episode... Actually, do you know, I'm not sure where we're up to. Are we up to episode 113? 114?
Yes.
113. I'm not more prepared than this. I've lost count because, unfortunately, I missed the last episode that Declan recorded with Lord Raelis when you spoke about dinosaurs in Assassin's Creed. I'm really sorry that I missed that one, but it's good to be back. Welcome to episode 113. This was one that we hadn't planned really until about 4 or 5 days ago, and we've changed our plans for the next few weeks because of the surprise release of the new content for Valhalla and the really big surprise release of the new content for Odyssey. And that's what we're talking about tonight. And we're gonna kind of just do a review, share our opinions of the new story, new map that was added to Assassin's Creed Odyssey, which was announced in the trailer last Tuesday. We're recording this on Sunday, the 19th of December. It will go out Saturday. Actually, will it go out on Christmas Day or Christmas Eve, Declan? What's your plans for publishing this one?
Christmas Eve. I have Christmas Day where I just want to drink Baileys in my dressing gown and chill. So the idea is this will go out Christmas Eve and people will have it ready for Christmas Day when either A, they're preparing the turkey, or B, they're playing Christmas trivia with some sherry and a fire, and they can listen to our voices serenading them.
Perfect, mate. I like the sound of that.
Perfect Yuletide.
Absolutely. So yeah, enjoy this episode over Christmas. Of course, by the time you listen to it, it'll have been sort of 12, 13 days since the release of the new content. But right now we're fresh off of the back of playing. Well, I am. Declan hasn't had a chance to play it yet. So we need some help with this episode. Someone else who loves Odyssey, who has played through the new content and can share their thoughts and their opinions. So we have a new guest. Welcome to the show, Sani, known as Sani Flame Art, and a rather amazing artist. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, and thank you very much for that compliment.
Oh, no, it was an easy compliment, mate. I haven't shared it yet because I haven't yet had it printed, but in the new year, I shall have it printed. I have two fantastic pieces of art from Sani. One of the least, which, as anyone who listens to this show will know, is required, and an amazing one of Arno, which I cannot wait to get printed and up on my wall because they are superb. So definitely, if you enjoy or if you like amazing character art, you should give Sani's work a look. Declan, get us started, mate. Where do we start with this new Odyssey content?
To be honest, I find it hilarious that this has all been done last minute, but as I said in the release video, I've known about the crossover release for a little bit thanks to a sneak preview in the Mentals Guild. So running a podcast.
Oh, yes, of course.
Running this show where I may get sneak previews or early access or may not, depending on what Ubisoft offer, and hiding it from you is starting to become a challenge because you're like, let's do the Odyssey crossover. And I'm like, yeah, I knew you were going to say that already. I've been waiting.
So I tell you what, before we get into the meat of the topic tonight, so I'm just going to read out the schedule that we had planned. So we had planned 18th of December, so yesterday's episode, Dinosaurs and Assassin's Creed, which went ahead as planned. We were going to do for Christmas an Assassin's Creed Unity quiz, which I had done ages ago and prepared ages ago. Then we were going to record an episode, just a sort of forward-looking episode of what's going to happen, what are we expecting, what are we looking forward to with Assassin's Creed in 2022. All of those plans were kind of scrapped middle of last week. But Declan, the super professional, has been speaking to me for weeks. We've had all the schedule planned. He's not breathed a word. That he's not even said, you know what, James, we should probably leave a week free there and just, see what topic. He has been absolute. If you need someone to act as your, to keep your secrets, he's the right man for the job. Oh, dear. So here we are. Let's sort of set the scene. So I have finished the Odyssey story and all of the kind of locations on the new map. Declan, you haven't started it because you don't have Odyssey available at the moment.
No, I've asked my friends at Ubisoft, but I wasn't able to acquire a sneak copy of Odyssey to try it, which is unfortunate, but I have questions. A huge list of questions.
Wonderful.
So, Sani, you have, like me, you finished all of the content in Odyssey, I assume.
I have. Actually, there is, what's the name of the quest? A kind of treasure hunt. I am very bad with names, by the way. Yes. I have one left to do, mainly just because I'm that type of gamer that when a game says, just follow this clue, we'll give you absolutely no pointers whatsoever, I go like, oh my god. I like them, but I also hate them.
I know that feeling. And that too, just to compare to Valhalla, where the world events give you even less pointers of what you need to do, it has taken me a long time to adapt to Valhalla's way of thinking.
Yes, absolutely. I love the world quests in Valhalla just because they're quite diverse. But the fact that in a lot of them I had no clue what I was meant to do, that was a bit, fun. But yes, but other than that, I have finished the Odyssey crossover content indeed.
All right. So, Declan, you're okay with spoilers, I'm guessing, because you had a bit of a sneak preview.
The preview I got was the CGI trailer that everyone got released, on the team. So I'm all right with spoilers because, I don't know, it's weird. Because it's a crossover, I don't mind knowing what I'm going in for. Because playing the Valhalla first one, you already get a sense of the direction Odyssey must have gone for why Cassandra's there and how she's ended up. So playing Valhalla first, I know where Cassandra's got to end up and the goal she's going for. So it's now like a book where you know the ending, but you don't know the beginning and the middle. So spoilers are all good for me.
All right, okay. Excellent. So you said you had questions. Get us started. What's your first question?
The biggest hook for Odyssey for me was mythology, because Greek mythology, Greek storytellers, and the idea of Cassandra runs mercenary fighting Greek monsters was cool. Now, judging by the trailer that I watched a billion times, it looks like this one's becoming more grounded to set Cassandra in universe as more of a assassin slash, I don't know what she would be. So could you guys explain, is it more grounded take on where Cassandra's life should lean now she's immortal, or do they still try and dabble in fantasy isui stuff?
What do you think, Sani?
I think there's still isu-ness. There's still isu stuff in the crossover. However, in terms of like the fantasy element, the mythological beasts, I haven't encountered any. I think in that sense, it's more grounded on the path Cassandra will take and how she comes to take it. But there is some isu-ness there.
Yeah.
Without giving too much. Oh, we can if you want.
I'm going to go all in on spoilers. I think.
Okay. Yeah.
So, Cassandra starts Odyssey on Kefalonia in her little hovel, and she's got this spear, her grandfather's spear, and it imbues her with certain abilities, which, you know, some may say are magical. We as Assassin's Creed fans know that they are not magical; they are merely enhancements granted by advanced isu technology, and we can have an entirely separate debate about whether Odyssey breaks the lore of Assassin's Creed or not. Now, what's important to think about is, yes, in the game, from a gameplay point of view, there are some abilities that are kind of super powerful or supernatural or whatever you want to call it, but a lot of fun. I'm just going to say that the gameplay in Odyssey is a lot of fun. In the novel, her abilities are more limited, and if you want to take the novel as the kind of canon source of information, if I remember rightly, and it's been a long time since I've read the novel, it effectively gives her a bit of a sixth sense, the wrong word to use in the Assassin's Creed world, kind of like an early warning, you know, that the hair standing up on the back of her neck, that something's about to happen. I can't remember what other abilities it gives her. Declan, can you remember, because you've read the book for the podcast in the past?
I cannot know. I kind of read it so long ago, and since then I read about 1,000 different books.
Fair enough. You read a lot. Yeah.
Too much.
So, yeah. in the game, you know, she can do this Ring of Chaos ability and Bull Rush ability and Spartan kicking people off of cliffs. And I just want to say, being back in Odyssey and being back in that, the way that Odyssey's gameplay is designed, it's just so much fun.
It's very satisfying.
It is.
Yeah.
And I made this comment within sort of half an hour of being back. And I'm not saying this to bash Valhalla. Valhalla has a different style. It has a different tone. I get it. They wanted combat to feel different. I get that it's a different setup. So it's wrong to say that objectively one is worse than the other. So I'm just going to say subjectively, for me personally, I find Valhalla quite a frustrating game to play. Yeah. Combat is quite slow. Parrying seems to have this weird delay, although that does appear to be resolved with some of the new changes. So I do want to make that point that, you know, dodging, you can dodge, but then you run out of stamina, so you can't dodge. And I get it, they're going for a different style. But for me personally, I loved Odyssey's melee combat of dodge, parry, attack, dodge. And it's fast and it's furious and it looks stylish. But most of all, for me, it was responsive. You click the parry button and she parries immediately. You get a little flash of sparks from the sword where it hits the enemy, and you've opened an opportunity to get a strike in. And I just really missed those things. I really missed the responsive melee combat. The stealth works. Again, the stealth has been improved, in my opinion, a lot with the new update that came out last week as well. Sorry, let me clarify. Stealth in Valhalla has been tricky since release, but it does seem to be a lot better since release, whereas Odyssey stealth kind of worked all the time. And I was stealth clearing locations on the island of Corfu and everything worked. And it was just so nice to be back and have everything work in a way that was familiar to me. I kind of forgotten my point actually and where we were going with your original question, Declan. I've gone off on a sidetrack already about melee combat. Oh, you asked if how grounded, we were talking about how grounded it was. So Cassandra starts with this magical spear. Let's call it magical, even though it's not magical, it's advanced technology. And when Cassandra meets Layla in 2018, Layla brings her spear back to her and offers it to her. And Cassandra says something like, "You can keep it, it's broken." So we know that at some point between the end of the Odyssey main game and the modern day, the spear has lost its power, lost its abilities, or it's been damaged or whatever, but we don't know how. This story, I mean, you tell it, Sani. What happens to the spear in this story?
The spear stops working. Basically, all the special abilities that it, and the special sense it gives Cassandra, is actually gone. It's like the magic is gone. We know it's not magic. Like James say, is advanced technology, but that is gone. And it was gone after coming in contact with another very, very powerful Isu artifact. How, we don't know technically, but that caused coming in contact with, I'll just say it, Apple of Eden, basically. It's a shiny Isu ball. It's shiny Isu ball, yeah. It came in contact with it and it just created some kind of chain reaction which has completely disabled the spear. So it becomes just a spear, a simple spear, nothing else.
Now, I must admit, at that point, I first of all thought, this is cool, from a let's open up the story and require the players to play in a new way. But I assumed...
Nope.
That the rest of the story was going to be Cassandra repairing her spear. Like, she would find the piece of Eden and use it to repair the spear. And, you know, I didn't think about the Layla ending and how it would connect. But,
of course,
it makes perfect sense, doesn't it? How they so cleverly filled in that story gap. Go on, Declan.
I'm kind of having an issue already with Odyssey's DLC.
Go ahead.
I understand from a chemical story point of view that by the time it reaches Layla, the spear is gone. Kaboof, it's broken. But after you spend so long, and even I, as a person who would do anything in the game for fun, got sick of finding the little animus fragments, whatever they were, to repair the spear, it kind of feels like you spend hours and hours leveling that spear up, to then suddenly be like, hey, your spear is now broken, so all them 60 hours you've put into our game to put the spear to its maximum level was wasted for a single story point just a tiny ending. It's a silly complaint to have, in my opinion.
Sorry, I don't know, James, if you want to answer.
No, go on, Sunny. Yeah, I'm interested to hear.
I think the way they've done it is quite well done, because at this stage in the story, Cassandra is tired of fighting. She is tired of weird Isu stuff. She wants a holiday, and that's how the DLC starts. She goes on a holiday to Corfu. And she just wants to lie in the sun and drink wine and not do anything. So there is an element of Cassandra who does not want this life anymore. And the other one is, I do think she does look to get the spear repaired, but Aletheia? Aletheia?
I think that's right.
Aletheia seeks her out. Basically, we hear Aletheia speak with Cassandra, and we see her as well. And Aletheia just simply tells her that the spear cannot be repaired, full stop. So I think for Cassandra, hearing someone like Aletheia say that nothing can be done, then nothing can be done. So she just accepts it. So there is some logic to it, if that makes sense.
Yeah. I never felt that what they were doing with the story and with the spear was inconsistent. Now,
yeah, no.
There's definitely a question about what order, when should you access this new content? Now,
yeah.
There's two very, very big pop-ups. When you sail or you travel to Sami, the main town on Kefalonia, the town where it all begins, when you visit the... I can't remember the guy's name, the guy selling pots for Marcos, and you smash the pots, the very first kind of quest you do. Yeah. So you go back to Sami, and there's a lady on the dock, you know, saying, would you like to travel to Corfu? Like Sani said, it's, you know, get your vacation.
What's a holiday?
Yeah. And so you've got this side content, which you can access very early in the game. All you need to do is finish Kefalonia and finish Megaris. Which, to be fair, you can kind of sprint through those two sections if you want in about 3 hours. Then you can access the side content for Corfu, this new crossover story. However, when you talk to the lady on the dock, you get this big pop-up. This will spoil later content. And when you say yes and you go to accept the quest, you get another big pop-up saying, are you really sure this will spoil content? So what I think the advice is, and you do make a good point, Declan, about how does this fit into the story. So you've got your main Odyssey family story in Greece, in the Greek world. You've got the Cult of Cosmos story where you're hunting down the cultists. You've got the story called the Between Two Worlds questline, which you get from Pythagoras. And you hunt the mythical beasts. You seal Atlantis. Then you've got Legacy of the First Blade is optional here. Then you've got Fate of Atlantis. Now, in Fate of Atlantis, right at the very end, there's a cutscene with Cassandra and Icaros. And Cassandra's looking out over Atlantis. And she says something like, I'm tired, Icaros. People always ask me to go here, do this, kill them. I'm tired. And I think if you play Fate of Atlantis and you get that scene, you finish Fate of Atlantis, and then you go into this scene, the narrative works. You've used your magical spear throughout your time in Greece, your time in Fate of Atlantis, Legacy of the First Blade as well, if you play that, but it's not required for it to make narrative sense. You're tired. You go to Corfu. You get your rest that you've been looking for, and then your spear breaks, and then it's the end of the story. We should come to the ending, but maybe we save that for the end as well, because the ending is fantastic. Sani, you wanted to make a point.
Yes. So I think I agree with what you say completely. And it just made me think that this is an issue, for example, I have with the Siege of Paris and to some extent Wrath of the Druids of Valhalla.
Oh, yeah, go on.
Which is, I know Ubisoft wants to make this content accessible to as many people as possible, so they release it earlier in terms of game timeline. And in my opinion, it doesn't work as well. It's playable, and certainly players who just play for fun might not be bothered about it. But I think for those who enjoy the story and the lore and are looking for that continuity, then it doesn't make sense, which is what happened to Declan with this Odyssey bit. Yeah. It doesn't make sense if it's not played at the end. Or at least it will raise some questions. So I think that is more of a, I don't know, a business strategy from Ubisoft to do that. Yeah, so that's it.
Yeah. Absolutely. Oh, you make a good point, Declan, mate. You wanted to say something.
Just going to say, it didn't, hearing the DLC and how the spear fits in kind of does sound pretty cool. Like, at first glance, it's like, well, I've just put 8 hours into a game to fix the damn thing. I don't want it to ever break, but if it fits in nicely with like the story and everything, if it fits as well as you guys suggested, I'm actually kind of happy with that interpretation. You know, two Isu artifacts coming into contact with it will be like two magnets, so having polar effects and one that to strike makes some sense, but I do wish they didn't break the spear so soon. Before I ask my next question, James, you've kind of raised the biggest issue I have with Black Flag, not Black Flag, Odyssey.
Hey, you want to talk about Black Flag? Sani's the right guest to have on for that as well.
You raised another issue I have with Odyssey and Valhalla, and it's DLC. Now, I disagree, and I'll go on record, and I'll obviously, that Fate of Atlantis should not have tied into the main game and ended the main game, because I know a lot of the content does end the main game story. And to hear that there's a line at the end of the Fate of Atlantis DLC that kind of gives you a bit more a sense of why she's fed up, kind of brings that point where if people don't afford DLC or don't want DLC, then in Odyssey they're missing out on huge lore that pushes the narrative for Valhalla, because you won't understand why Layla's got the staff if you don't play the DLCs.
Very true, very true.
And it also kind of like, I've not played Fate of Atlantis because I saw PS4 before I could finish Fate of Atlantis. So I never got the sense that Cassandra was tired of fighting or tired of the Isu crap from what I saw. So it's kind of an annoyance that if I played the DLC, the free content now, while ever playing Fate of Atlantis, I would not get a charitable sense that she's fed up of fighting, which is a huge disappointment because it's saying that they're relying that everyone's gone and bought the DLCs. So I don't know how you feel, but to me it kind of feels like the saying, if you don't play the DLC, you may not understand why she's now tired and wanting a holiday, because at the end of the main game, she doesn't look tired of fighting and anything. There's not much Isu nonsense in the main game outside the Atlantis Project beasts.
I mean, you make a very good point. I can't defend the point because the point you've raised comes to the central issue of what is DLC? Should it even exist? Should a game just have a story and it's a complete story as the writers intended? Whether it's a traditional beginning, middle, end, or, you know, introduce the protagonist face a problem, protagonist resolves the problem, you know, kind of story, or whether it's a trilogy of stories that are released over a number of years, I don't know. So what you're asking comes right to the core of what is DLC now?
Yeah.
The answer to your question, Declan, is what we have with Valhalla, where we have two DLCs, kind of very, very decent sized expansions, but they can be accessed, I think, as soon as you've arrived in Ravensthorpe, maybe when you've got to Ravensthorpe to level 2,
I think
completed one arc. I think if I remember rightly, you have to have either completed Soma's arc in Grandbridgeshire.
Yeah, the first one.
Or the brothers of the Ragnar. Is it the brothers of Ragnar? I can't even remember the names of all the arcs, but the other arc in Leicestershire.
I don't know the name of the arc, but Leicestershire.
So you've got to have completed one arc, and then boom, Eivor gets some new guests, visitors in Ravensthorpe, and you can go off to Francia or off to Ireland. So that's the trade off. You've got DLCs in Valhalla that you can access very early on. and they give you stuff to do, but ultimately they don't progress Eivor's character.
Yeah.
Or you can have Odyssey style and I suppose Origin style DLCs. Although I don't remember Origins so well. Maybe I won't talk about Origins. You can have Odyssey style DLCs where you cannot access them. Well, not correctly anyway. There are certain points in the story where you can access them, yeah. But they do advance the overall plot and the overall journey that Cassandra yeah. goes on. So that's the trade-off. Maybe if they were included in the base game, which is part of the story, part of the money that you paid the first time around, it would be less of an issue. But you make a fair point. I still think that the story... The standalone story on Corfu still works if you've not played Fate of Atlantis for a couple of reasons. It's not so much of a leap to say that Cassandra's fed up of her Odyssey yeah, because we know I from agree. The novel, yeah, her Odyssey takes, what is it, 11 years. It's not a leap of not faith, it's not a leap of knowledge because Cassandra has already come into contact with pieces of Eden from the Between Two Worlds questline that she gets from her father, Pythagoras. When she's killed the Minotaur, Steropes, yeah. What are the other ones? Medusa, and is it Argies, the other Cyclope? I think that's right. So she kills the four beasts. She obtains the Piece of Eden. So from us as a gamer experiencing the story, Cassandra knows that these magical Isu balls exist, even if she doesn't fully understand them. So I think it still works. Definitely for the full experience, it helps to have played Fate of Atlantis and to have been through that yeah. additional, because it's that there's things that happen to Cassandra in that final simulation in Atlantis that are, you know, pulling at her emotional heartstrings, teaching her that as the keeper of the staff, she is going to see everyone around her die while she lives on. So you can understand how she would come out of that more knowledgeable but also maybe emotionally worn out and needing a break. What did you think, Sani? How would you have, how do you think the crossover fitted into the rest of the content in Odyssey?
I think it fits wonderful at the end. That's the pretty much the only criticism I would have, that people can access it at any time. I think there would be someone who has not played Fate of Atlantis. I think there would be a lot of questions like, who is Alethea? What is this staff? What does the staff do? You know, well, you know, why am I the keeper? What is a keeper? I think it raises a lot of questions. It's still playable, and I know a lot of people who are more casual gamers. They don't really care much about the story and the lore. They just want to shoot and kill and, you know, do all the fun bits. And for them, it'll be fine. But for people who are maybe following the story, they will have questions. So I loved it. I absolutely loved it. But I do think it fits in perfect right at the end after Fate of Atlantis.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, the option there for players, and again, it's we're recording this on Sunday night, so it's about to come to an end, but they have made Odyssey free to play for the weekend. Now, could you play the entire Odyssey story and the DLCs in a weekend and then play the crossover mission?
If you don't sleep,
yeah,
maybe.
If you don't, yeah, you're right, San. If you don't sleep, you could probably do it in 30 or 40 hours, I guess. I don't know what the speed run, ignoring speed runs, which are just insane. It's a big, big task.
Yeah, it is.
So
and you know, and the thing with Odyssey is that you'll need quite a lot of power for some of the, like the Minotaur and Medusa. You know, you can't go, and at least, maybe it's just me and I'm a terrible gamer, but I needed to be very overpowered on those fights.
Oh, definitely.
They're not like easy fights, even on an easy setting. So it's very difficult, I think, to do a speed run on Odyssey because of that, actually. I'm sure people who are better gamers than I can do it, but I wouldn't be able to.
No, same here.
Yeah.
One comment I would like to make, and I made a note of this in advance, is we didn't know, there'd been leaks that there was content coming to Valhalla. We spoke about this when we did our special episode last Tuesday night, that having new content for Odyssey is, I have to say, we're nearly a week later and my mind is still kind of still reeling at the fact that we got this in a 3-year-old game. Now, I appreciate they were still adding content for a year, but it's basically been 2 years since there's been any major new, more than 2 years since we've had any major new content. And we got this fantastic new story. Now, when we saw the trailer, my thought, I didn't quite connect that it was a new map and a new location. I kind of assumed they would take us somewhere in Greece, maybe somewhere warm and sunny, one of the islands, and it would be a new story, but in one of the existing locations. But they didn't. Yeah. They went to the trouble of creating a new map, a new island. And what I really appreciated about Corfu was it felt unique. They could have just copied and pasted Naxos, Paros, Crete, Kythira, any of the other islands, and just said, boom, that's cool. But they didn't. They took, for me, it felt a little bit like Laconia. We had sort of more of the trees and the vegetation of Megaris. And it felt like its own unique biome and its own unique location. Did you notice, Sani, they also tweaked the weather so it never rained the whole time we were there? Yes, whereas in the rest of Greece, yes, you don't get much rain, but every now and then you will get an epic storm and clouds and light. And the weather in Odyssey is amazing. That's anyway. Right. But we never, did you know, I'd been playing for maybe an hour, maybe even 2 hours, and I suddenly thought, hang on a minute, the skies are always blue.
Yeah.
Did you also notice there are no ships?
I did indeed, yes.
Yeah. There's also no ships fighting at sea. They made it peaceful.
More peaceful. It's a holiday destination, isn't it?
But I was blown away at the effort they must have gone to take. Now, they're not creating entirely new content because it's the same buildings and ropes and rocks and trees, but they took the trouble to create this little bubble of Greece that was unique and it felt really special. Sani, please. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, no, just on that, I wanted to say that I actually was so happy when I found out that there would be a Odyssey new content, because you mentioned leaks, and unfortunately I was leaked to this, not to what the crossover involved, but the fact that Cassandra would show up. I was spoiled on that many, many months ago. I have very, very strong opinions about leaks and data mining, which I probably shouldn't go into because I might swear, and I'm sure Declan will then never invite me back.
We allow swearing, don't worry about it.
But yes, I have very, very, very strong feelings on that. So I was very annoyed with all that. So when the announcement came, I was like excited, but like, yeah, I know this. So the fact that there was a extra Odyssey quest, it was awesome because I did not know that. I just thought it would be Cassandra would show up in Valhalla, full stop. So I was super happy. And when I logged into Odyssey and when I saw this whole new map and there's all these new locations, and like you say, the locations are not necessarily new, but for me, they feel new because, assets are similar, but it's a different place altogether. So for me, it was very, very exciting to see that. And that was my surprise. It was the Odyssey part. That was what made me excited, I have to say, on this.
I felt the same buzz that I'd first felt, 2.5 years ago when I first played Odyssey and it was all new to me. Do you remember where, I mean, it's the same in Valhalla and in Origins. When you get to a new region and you get that banner that says, you know, Megaris or Phokis, and you just think, ooh, new possibilities. You go to a sync point for the first time and you see the map layout and you think, oh, I don't know. I've played Odyssey so much.
Goosebumps all over, like, yay!
I did. I had that whole new gamer thing, but also it was familiar because it was my beautiful world that I've spent hundreds of hours, and it was fantastic. But The joy of exploration in a new area was just wonderful. Declan, please, mate, you wanted to say something.
Is it making me really want to go buy Odyssey now just for this? I will admit, though, and I'm really sorry to say this on the show, but I was not excited for Cassandra in Valhalla. I still have a bad taste just because with a lot of the data miners and doing this stuff, somebody leaked Cassandra coming to Valhalla. And now, normally, I would ignore that and it wouldn't bother us. But what happened is I saw an IGN article, which I've talked about before in Discords, saying that Cassandra, at the time of Siege of Paris, Cassandra's back in Valhalla. So I read the IGN article because I trusted it. And it was basically the entire spoiler walkthrough.
Oh, as far back as the release of... So was that August time?
And it literally spoiled the entire assassin mystery of Siege of Paris. Just for the article at the bottom to say Cassandra's not in Valhalla. The whole article didn't have... I didn't see the spoiler one, so I read the whole article, sped through it, and it spoiled the whole Assassin Bureau locations, what the mission is. Just for the article to say at the very bottom of one line, Cassandra is not in Valhalla. And I was just like, and then when there's like, oh yeah, Assassin's Creed's crossover, Valhalla, I was like, yes, it's Cass. I love Cassandra. You know, she was the first female protagonist I played because I loved her story in the novel. But having one of the coolest parts of Siege of Paris gone because of data miners and clickbait for her, I don't think I was as excited to see her here. Not because she's a bad character or I don't like the idea, just I'm still upset that I didn't get to do the mystery of what these assassin bureaus are because of data miners.
Gotcha.
But I have similar feelings because, and to be honest, at some point, I was like, you know what? I wish she's not back so it will shut up everyone. Yes. Just because the whole thing annoyed me so much. And like I said, it's a really, really thing that gets me a bit enraged. And not a lot does. The data mining and the leaks. And the fact that everyone was doing it, it's become so normalized. Mm. And for me, it ruins the pleasure, and in some ways it how shall I say it damages the characters for me. I still love Cassandra, of course, but I didn't have the impact with this crossover that I know I would have if that trailer was the first thing I was the first time I'd heard of it. Sorry, I'm waffling on now, but I have similar feelings. I got to a stage where I kind of wish that it would not happen. And Odyssey is what is in my top three games for AC, so I love Cassandra. So it's not something I would normally say, but it got to that stage where I was so enraged by all this data mining and leaking and things that I kind of, I wasn't happy.
I feel your pain, totally.
The
first leaks came out 9 months ago. And at the time I thought, this one or two people who are leaking this stuff, they've misinterpreted something or they're barking up the wrong tree or whatever. And as more and more pieces of evidence gathered, and I don't seek these leaks out, but you subscribe to YouTube channels, you read your Twitter feed, and you can't avoid it, unfortunately.
You
can't avoid that headline. Yes, you don't need to click on the video or you don't need to click on the tweet or the news article Declan found, but you still see the headline.
Yeah. And the thing is it's everywhere. It's on YouTube, it's on Twitter. And the thing is, what I found was like even people I know that were liking posts about it, so I started muting a lot of accounts and unfollowing, but I was still being exposed to it. It was like there was no escape. It even went to a Discord server I'm on that never had stuff like that, and it was there as well. And it was basically everywhere. And I honestly don't understand why someone would want to find out such amazing news via, you know, Mr. McGamer Boy leaker mining guy on Twitter with a sad post saying, "Hey Cassandra, you know, click here," instead of seeing that trailer for the first time and being absolutely awed by it. But
Yeah.
But yeah, it's what it is, I suppose. I've been told not to fight it because it's the way of the world, so I suppose I'm getting old. I don't like it.
I tell you, it's made me a lot more cautious about what I click on. I don't mean that on like an internet safety point of view. There's certain things you obviously don't click on, but you know, you do have to be... I don't want spoilers. I would like to have seen that reveal trailer completely fresh. Now, I'd already seen the rumours about Cassandra in Valhalla, so that part of the trailer was still cool to see, but it was like, okay.
Yeah.
Where... I don't know whether Ubisoft planned it because they knew stuff was leaking or whether it was just lucky chance. Where it blew my mind was, oh my God, we are going back to Greece.
That's right,
just a story it's not just in Valhalla. England or Scotland. Yeah, this is, they have added, and either the data miners were looking in the wrong direction or maybe Ubisoft simply didn't release any code. I assume they didn't do any releases. That must be the case because there hasn't been an Odyssey patch since, well, we had the 60 frames per second patch for console, but that was some months ago. But maybe Ubisoft knew what was going to happen, so to try and keep the surprise, they didn't. Or maybe it was just, again, lucky because they weren't doing releases anyway. I wonder if this will change Ubisoft's future release strategy, whether they will try to keep...
I hope so, because I don't want to
spoil. I do too. I kind of appreciate the nerdiness of digging into files and digging into code, but not for this purpose, because I don't want spoilers.
No,
but I still had that buzz of seeing that trailer and seeing, oh my God, we've got Herodotus and Barnabas, our boat dads, as Rue called them, our boat dads are back.
Yeah.
You know, and it was just amazing. And although we'd had the data mines, it didn't spoil the Greek content for me. The Greek content.
And it
content,
didn't take the pleasure away from playing.
No, it didn't. But
it didn't.
On the Valhalla side, a little. Some of the shine was tarnished, let's put it like that. Declan, over to you.
I just want to say on the quick point of data mine before I ask a very important combat question about the DLC. I have spoke a lot of this with some of the mental skill people and their thoughts, and it looks like the reason for the data miners not getting Odyssey is because the dialogue code for the crossover in Valhalla, it's been there for a few months, I think someone said.
Yes.
It looks like that no one's bothered with Odyssey because it hasn't been updated. So I believe...
Yeah, that makes sense.
I believe the code's probably been there since the last 60 frame second update, ready to be unlocked. But, and this is just a hypothesis of my own, and I think it was six keys or something mentioned about like the, some people may be bored of Valhalla that look and see what's coming next. That maybe it's just a byproduct of a live service game, you know. People are always like, oh, this is live service, let's see what's coming next, let's see what's coming next. And because Odyssey ended its live service content a year ago, no one's bothered. Yeah, so no one's like, oh, let's see if they bring anything. But with Valhalla, it's like, you've got year two coming. People are going to be digging for months to see what year two's bringing. So...
Yeah.
Live service will always bring data miners because, in my opinion, they need to know what you're going to do next.
It will. Yeah, you're right. It will, unless Ubisoft do sort of overhaul their release strategy so that they are releasing the new content as downloads a few days or a week before it becomes playable.
Yeah.
You know, what we know from Valhalla is they released, as you said, the audio files for the new quest. They've been in the game on people's PCs and consoles for months, and that's allowed the miners a chance to crack it open. I hope, very much hope, that that Ubisoft make it more difficult for them to crack it open.
Absolutely.
But I tell you what, let's go back, instead of talking about the surrounding news, let's go back to the content itself. So let me go to my notes. So it was, I will say, it was really nice to be back. It was good. Like, it's like putting on a nice, comfortable pair of shoes. Everything was familiar. Everything worked. Yeah, everything worked. Greece is beautiful. Corfu, they created a beautiful island. I've already said that what I really appreciated was the fact they created a new island with a unique feel and a unique kind of biome. What about the story itself? Very, very simple. I think it's five memories, and probably about 2 hours if you just play it straight through.
Possibly,
but we got some really good interaction between Cassandra and Herodotus and Barnabas. We got Peace of Eden, which was great to see in the story. What I really liked about the spear, though, and the spear breaking, or, you know, yeah, breaking halfway through, and you get that pop-up which says, I forget it, I've already forgotten the wording, Sandy, you might remember.
Yeah,
it says your abilities are disabled or something like that.
Yeah.
And as I said earlier, I thought, okay, this is going to be a quest to repair the spear or repair, you know, get the abilities back. Not having the abilities forces you to play, let's put it in quotes, like an assassin. You can't just, well, you can, depends on your build, but you have to think more. And I don't know whether this was intentional or whether it was strictly for the story to bridge us between the working spear and the spear being broken in the modern day. But I like to think that maybe it was a bit of a nod to those players who didn't like Odyssey's magical gameplay and Cassandra's magical abilities, because suddenly, yeah, you've just got to, you've got to think, and you've got to use stealth, and you've got to be cautious about how you approach each location and each part of the story. What I really wanted to call out, though, is I think there was a lot of time and effort put into the, not just the map design, but if we zoom in on the map to the individual locations and towns, I guess you'd call that level design.
Yeah.
This felt really crafted, like the people that designed each level had put, and I don't want to criticize the people that created the original version of Odyssey too much. That seems unfair. But these locations felt like they had a lot more thought in terms of hiding spots, ropes, ladders, parkour opportunities, stealth opportunities than we had in the base game. So my feeling was that I came away from Corfu thinking that if you played Odyssey because it was the latest game and you wanted to play it, but you didn't like the combat, the quote-unquote magical combat, or you wanted a game that offered more stealth opportunities, play this story. Because the central part of the story, the spear breaking, takes your abilities away anyway. But these locations have been really well thought out to encourage stealth, to encourage assassinations. I appreciated that. I played this a lot more as an assassin, and it was very, very satisfying. What did you think, Sani? Did you play it as an assassin? Did you kind of melee your way, YOLO your way through the map?
I went with the stealth approach. And the reason why was earlier on, you were talking, it's funny, you were talking about the combat, and you compared the combat of Odyssey being more responsible with Valhalla.
Mm.
And I thought it was quite interesting how I'm actually the opposite. So I do like the Odyssey combat, but for me, the Odyssey combat is fun because of the abilities.
Full stop.
I rarely do melee on Odyssey. I use the abilities and I use the bow. That's it. Not that it's not good, because for me, that it's not a question of being good or not. For me, I gain all the pleasure from using the abilities, because I think they're amazing.
Yeah. So would you be someone that would be using like rush assassination, something like that, to stab people, definitely, and chain the kills together?
Definitely. Gotcha. Definitely. And it was interesting when the spear lost its power, I swore to myself, I went like, oh no. What am I going to do now? Because I do use abilities a lot. And the thing is, I am not good at melee combat because I never use it. But of course, it wasn't the problem. I went the assassin approach. Like you say, it's the ideal environment for you to go the assassin way. So lots of hiding, lots of whistling, lots of just sneaking past.
Yep.
If I got in trouble, I just took my bow out. So I think it's a good nod to that, as you say. It forces you to go down that route and find out that it's actually quite pleasurable to do things stealthy.
It's a comment I'll make, and Declan and I have discussed about doing like an Odyssey revisit deep dive whatever in the next few months, but something I'll just very briefly say now. Odyssey is criticized a lot for not having good stealth or not being very stealthy. And
I never felt that.
I mean, as a new player, never played one of these games before. Yes, yeah. I get, you know, everyone knows I'm a massive Unity nerd. Of course, Unity, lots of stealth options. Totally different game to Origins and Odyssey.
Yeah.
I never felt that Odyssey wasn't a stealth game because me,
very hard
nothing,
to compare games like that.
It is. But I remember going through, you remember in Kefalonia, Kleptus Bay, the location where the Cyclops is, where he's drowning Vanabas in the big pot of water. And we put the eyeball up the goat's butt. I remember doing that village multiple times and I died a lot of times because I was new. I'd never done one of these games before. But I did it stealthily in the bushes.
It was very easy to do stealth.
Yeah. So I never, I get that maybe people were saying, you know, I want smoke bombs, I want cherry bombs, or I want.
They wanted specific elements, I think.
Maybe so. Maybe
so. It's a bit like comparing apples to bananas, you know.
Yeah.
The stealth in Unity, I would assume, is also different from the stealth in Assassin's Creed 2 or Revelations, and it's different from Odyssey. I think. It's, you can compare it, of course, but it's not a straight comparison, at least in my opinion.
Yeah, yeah. So I played Odyssey as a stealth player, at least early on when my...
Same.
Because I wasn't very good at
it. I died a lot.
Like you, Sani. Yeah. So I never got the criticism that it wasn't a stealth game. But if you were someone who went into Odyssey and didn't like it because the abilities, because the level design didn't encourage stealth, again, coming back to my point, this new map, these new locations, they are designed for that, I would say. Declan?
Yeah.
So, I'm kind of worried now about playing DLC.
Oh, why? Why?
Just on the basis of a quick tangent quote. If you can play a game by hiding in the bushes, you can play a game stealthily. It's not perfect, you can do it. But I built an assassin character. In Odyssey, I got my melee damage 2,000, but my assassin build damage to 3,500. So I always, you know, used rush assassination, critical assassination. I could assassinate entire camps, one hit, one dozen spear of Leonidas.
Yeah.
I'm a badass. But there is no passive tree in Odyssey. It's all ability build trees.
What do you mean by passive tree?
In Origins and Valhalla, you've got this skill tree where there's nothing that ties to the abilities. It's just all passive stuff. So you've got like a raven loot in Valhalla. So when you shoot someone with a bow, your raven goes, picks stuff up.
Yeah.
Extra adrenaline. And I remember in one of the Assassin's Trees of Odyssey, there's critical hit.
Aha, yes.
So my curiosity is, one, rush assassination was one of my favorite abilities, not because it was cool as hell to look at, but it made sense to launch a spear then run after it. That shows the skill of a mercenary to launch a spear halfway across the map then chase after it. So I'm worried about that. And two, when with the one of the DLCs you could destroy when you kill someone stealth, it got rid of the body. You like disintegrate the body.
Oh, yes. I mean, that, yeah.
I love that one. And three, the other ability was a passive, is critical hit. If the abilities are being removed, how can you give people the critical hit chance?
Right. Oh, we're going to.
That's my worry.
So, the other two things that this new story gives us, it gives us two new legendary weapons, each of which comes with a unique and new legendary engraving. Now, again, we're sort of heading into the types of players that like this kind of character build stuff, and there are players that don't. So if you don't like this sort of character build stuff in Odyssey, this is not going to help you. However, try and hear me out for a minute. So, you know, in Odyssey, it's all about the numbers. You can build for Assassin. You can one-hit level 99 mercenaries on Nightmare if you build for it. You can deal 200,000 melee damage with a light attack if you build for it, and so on and so on.
Yeah,
there is totally reasonable argument from some players that will say, this is Assassin's Creed, I shouldn't have to build for it. I get that argument. I don't really have an answer for you other than to say, if you want to master Odyssey, you have to build for it, you have to accept it. So if we move beyond that point, this new story gives us two new legendary weapons. I can't remember the names. One is a bow and one is a set of daggers. And the bow comes with the legendary engraving. I forget the exact numbers, but it's something like boost headshot damage by 200%. But then it does drop your melee and assassin damage by, I think, 100%. So you lose a lot of your melee and assassin damage, but you get a massive buff on your headshot damage. The daggers come with a new legendary engraving, which, again, I think this is a nod to... This is partly to help players out who suddenly lost all their abilities, but I think I treat it also as a nod to those players who don't want to use magical abilities anyway and want to treat it as a strictly non-magical game. The daggers, the dagger engraving is something like an assassination will always kill the target. Now, there is a downside, but I can't remember what it is, and it doesn't really matter. So when you loot those two pieces of gear as part of exploring the map, you can go to the blacksmiths on the town, Corkira, I think it is. You can engrave, for example, the assassin engraving on one of your pieces of items, or just equip the daggers, and you will be able to assassinate every single person on that island. What I would say is there are no mercenaries on the island. There are no legendary beasts. You know, it's a peaceful place. There are a couple of bandit camps, but so if you use the engravings the new story gives you or the new map gives you, you can play it as, like Sani said, she plays, I think you're the same, Declan, you play a lot of ranged combat. So you can engrave the headshot engraving and you'll be headshotting people at 100 paces and you'll be killing them with one hit. Or you can use the daggers and play assassin. Yes, the game is taking your abilities away, and you could still build for critical assassinate and all the rest of it, but it's giving you these new engravings that restore some of the damage output that you lost when you lost your ability to do critical hits. So that's how they're balancing it. I'll be honest, I'm a level 99 player. My current game is, same. I think it's three or four new game pluses. No, it might be four or five new game pluses chained together. I don't need those abilities because I've got a heavily customized build and I can one-shot assassinate mercenaries anyway. But if you're not there, if you're starting the game as at sort of level 20 or level 30, use these engravings. They will help you overcome what you've lost through losing the abilities through the Spear of Leonidas. I will make one more point, which is something that I sometimes see on the Odyssey subreddit. We sometimes get people complaining that Odyssey is very grindy. It's taking me 100 hits to kill this mercenary. And you'll see people answering in the thread trying to offer help with combat or whatever. And what you'll find is this person is playing a new game. They're new to the game and they're playing on Nightmare and they've got the level scaling set to the hardest level. If you're not enjoying it taking 100 hits, make it easy. Set the level scaling to normal. Absolutely. Level scaling to light. It
makes no sense.
Exactly. I mean, I love Odyssey, but I don't want to spend 10 minutes gradually chipping away at a mercenary
self. I hate that.
Yeah. I played my first way through, all the way through the game and the DLCs on easy with the level scaling set to light.
Yeah.
And it was hard enough for me. I then went back and I bumped up the difficulty. But, you know, so that I would say if you're playing this new story and you've lost your abilities and you're finding it difficult, check your difficulty level. Check your level scaling level. Make it easy on yourself. What's the point? Yeah, enjoy the story.
Nothing wrong with it.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Hopefully I've answered your point about losing the abilities, Declan. What do you think from what you've heard?
I want to end the recording and go play this DLC because I heard daggers. I heard the daggers abilities and I thought I would... And I don't mind because I played the game already. I would... Get it on my Xbox because it'd be a brand new save.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have any access because of cross saving at Valhalla. I would do the DLC just to get the daggers, just to get the engraving, just so I could do the entire map of Odyssey with that dagger engraving and that bow engraving. Because,
you know, I've just had a thought. I don't know if those engravings work outside of Corfu.
You need to test it for me, because if they do...
I will test it for you. And I tell you what, when you do get Odyssey on your Xbox, I want you to stream it, and I'm going to watch the stream, and we're going to sort of do it like a buddy up. We're going to talk you through it and help you out with your builds. It's going to be great.
to be honest, my builds for it, before I get into the last comment I've got written down, I always build what I call a legacy assassin build.
Okay.
And every assassin in Assassin's Creed always has a ranged ability and an assassin ability. No other assassin does it. You know, Aldir's range is throwing knives. Ezio's a gun thingy in his bracer, which still makes no sense. Connor's a bow.
Why does it make... Oh, sorry, I've got to stop you there, mate. Why does it make no sense that he's got a little gun on his bracer?
Because looking at the time period and everything, the material needed will be like cast irons, probably weigh a little bit. Gunpowder ratio between bullet and velocity. Then you've got to have padding inside the bracer because of the recoil. You've got to make sure that it doesn't... That a gun has kick backwards, but I'm pretty sure the bracer would absorb it downwards, which would snap your wrist. Then you've got to be careful it's on top of a mechanism to release a blade, which is usually dagger thin. So you've got to make sure that shoot it, you don't shatter the blade at the same time. So
is the pistol on the inside of his wrist then, where the blade is? I thought the pistol was on the outside. Oh, okay.
It's on, I think it's just on top of the blade. Because whenever he holds it, he always holds it as if he's pointing his hidden blade. So it's always on the underneath of his arm. But
okay,
that's gameplay first fiction. But either way, my point is, I always go for range assassination because every assassin does range. If you can find an assassin that has no range gear, then I will revoke my comment. But every assassin has a ranged gear. Even the Fry twins have throwing knives, I believe.
Throwing knives, yep.
So everyone does range, so why can't Cass, you know? Good bow.
Actually, the Fry twins have throwing knives and pistols, although they... Yeah, quick shot won't kill anyone. Like the knives, really, but a headshot will. So, yeah.
See?
Yeah.
So that's the build I'm going to go for, so I really want to understand.
All right.
So,
I will let you know if these new engravings work off the island or whether they're somehow restricted to the island.
So the final question I've got written down, I'm going to ask Sally first and you, James. Overall, judging how the reaction for Odyssey has always been, how does Cassandra fit into the lore? Because, you know, that I don't have any complaints in it, but I don't want to know too much about the Hidden Blade, so I want to keep that surprise. But how does it feel, you know, given that Cassandra now an extra story after the deal, after the main campaign and the DLCs, does it feel that this is where Cassandra belongs and it's her rightful place now in the lore moving forward as an Eternal Guardian? Or does it feel a bit like there's more room to grow Cassandra's character into the lore?
I mean, I have no complaints as well. I think Cassandra fits into the lore very, very well. I don't share the opinion of people who have issues with it. I can't comment much on it, on that aspect. In terms of room to grow, I think there's always room to grow for Cassandra. If we take in consideration who she is and the role she has, and you know, the reason why she is immortal, well, not quite immortal, but the reason why she lives for so long, the fact that she's the keeper of the staff, and why is she the keeper of the staff? So I think she found her spot quite nicely. I think for her to have this task that she was given, I think it fits perfect with the lore. It fits perfect with Valhalla. So I haven't played the Valhalla bit yet, but it fits in with what we know from Valhalla, the ending of Valhalla, if that makes sense. Mm. So I have no complaints. So I'm sure someone who doesn't think she fits into the lore probably would have more to say, but I think she has a place in this franchise, and it's a very good place, and I am very happy about it. If that makes sense, Declan. I don't know if I answered the question.
That does make a lot of sense. Sorry for interrupting you there. I think the hardest one is I'm trying to word it because for me, if a game has Isu, Templars, or Assassins, and even if it has no Assassins, no Templars, and a ton of Isu, will always be, you know, NAC game.
Yes, so absolutely.
I'm struggling to word things that incorporate all types of fan bases because I do understand and I do agree that everyone gets into the games differently. Everyone sees an anchor point. Yeah. I see, you know, three pyramids, three pillars of the Assassin's Creed universe, Isu, Templars, Assassins. If a game has no Isu, no Assassin or Templars, then no, it's not an Assassin's Creed game. If the game has a mercenary with a ton of Isu lore, it's an Assassin's Creed game. Absolutely. You can argue, but if it wasn't for the Isu, humans wouldn't exist. So technically, absolutely, if we got realistic on a tangent, you take out Isu, you have no Assassin's Creed game completely.
Oh, of course not. Of course not. That's what it's all about. It's about the artifacts that these people created. And, you know, you also make a fine point for me. AC is not just bad assassin, no, good assassin kill bad Templar. For me, that is such a restrictive view.
Absolutely.
And I completely understand that people might have a preference to play like that, the classic, you know, revenge against because you killed my family, you know, whatever. But, so there is a preference issue there, but it doesn't mean that other games that are not not meaning to offend anyone, but as simple as that, are not on the universe. The universe is vast. No, you wouldn't say that about other franchises. So I agree with you. There wouldn't be Assassins without Isu at all. Yeah. Sorry, James. Go on.
No, don't apologize. You carry on. I have some thoughts on Declan's question, but I'll wait for you to finish, Sani, of course.
No, I think that's it. I think that is a thing that I hear a lot, you know, the what is an Assassin's Creed game and it doesn't have Assassin versus Templar. And not meaning to be disrespectful, I do a lot of eye rolling because I personally find it restrictive. If it was just that, I would still play the games, but I wouldn't want to be involved in the fandom probably, or I wouldn't want to know more about the lore because it's like always watching the same troupe on movies. It gets boring. You know, you need a variety of different elements and different perspectives. And I personally love outside perspectives because I'm an outsider. I wouldn't be a Templar and I'm not an assassin. So playing an outsider gives me a hint on what it would be to live in this world of assassins versus Templars and Isus and... Yeah, so that's it. Sorry, I waffled on there.
No, it's okay. I'm going to take the word you said there, variety, and sort of talk from that point of view. So you make a great point. And again, I'm still new to this franchise relatively, but, you know, it's kind of a trope in conversations with fans, in news articles that are reviewing the franchise, that the franchise was becoming stale. The games were... See, now I never felt the games were repetitive. I enjoyed Syndicate because it was unique compared to Unity, compared to AC4, AC3, blah, blah, blah. I feel like the Ezio trilogy are kind of like, I mean, they're closely released. They obviously evolve each one, but they feel like one long game that you just play back to back rather than three separate games. But even then, I enjoyed them all for their unique parts as well. So I never felt that it was getting stale, but some people did. Origins turned the franchise on its head with this open world, with these sort of very light, but they were there. There were RPG mechanics there. Odyssey went heavily into it. Odyssey shook things up a lot. So Odyssey certainly gave variety, and Odyssey tells the story of an outsider. I'm not going to spoil dialogue in Valhalla, but I want to make a few points, and I want to come to Declan's point about, does this crossover sort of help? Does it help Cassandra fit into the universe? This crossover on its own does, but it's built on with a conversation between Eivor and Cassandra in the Valhalla half of the crossover, which we won't go into here because I don't want to spoil it because I know Declan's...
Ooh, exciting!
Yeah, and you know, it's not huge, but it's... Yeah, exactly. So no spoilers, but it's there and it makes it very clear who Cassandra is and what she's doing. So if I just talk about what we see in Odyssey. So although I love Odyssey, I am also clear it is not without its flaws. Now, I get that in these kind of open world games, you can't to finish the story and then shut the game down and roll the credits and say, ha ha, player, you're done, is a bit cruel because there's always more to do. So I understand why these open world games end as they do. And in Odyssey, you get a cutscene on the beach with Herodotus and Barnabas, and they say, this has been an Odyssey we'll always remember. And then you're still in the open world, or Layla is still in the Animus to frame it properly. So you don't, and you get the dinner in Sparta scene, and depending on who you saved or didn't save, none of those endings, from a storytelling point of view, for me, they were weak. They could have hit more of an emotional closure to Cassandra's journey into the story of Odyssey. Like I say, I get why they were constructed how they were from a gameplay point of view, but perhaps they could have been stronger. This crossover story, this Corfu story, it sets Cassandra's task ahead as the one, and this is Aletheia sort of helping Cassandra understand her duty for the coming hundreds or thousands of years. It sets her role as finding and either making safe or destroying these pieces of Eden, these artifacts. So Cassandra's role is set very clearly there by Aletheia. And that fits in very well with the established lore. We know there are these artifacts. We know the Templars want them. And we know the Assassins will act to keep them from Templar hands. What we now have is we have a third person. And who knows, there may be others in the future who are not aligned to either organization or not directly working for either organization, but are seeking them for themselves. Cassandra is now that person. She has a task, which is to find these pieces of Eden and destroy them. So that, for me, she's not an assassin. Well, I mean, blurry lines, maybe. You know, she's not a member of the Brotherhood, let's put it like that, because the Hidden Ones don't exist yet for another 400 years or so. But her task is clear. Her task fits in with the established story and plot points. What I'll say from a storytelling point of view, and I think we should definitely talk about this, is the ending of this crossover feels like the true ending of Odyssey, the game.
Yeah.
Sani, do you want to talk us through the ending and how did you feel about it?
I think you're right. I think it's a perfect ending for Cassandra. We know it's not the end of a story, but the end of her odyssey. Yeah. She set this task, which, by the way, I agree with you. I think it fits in nicely. And at the risk of sounding dumb, because I haven't played the Valhalla version yet, I think it also fits on what we know from Valhalla's main game ending, on like, why would Aletheia want her to go near pieces of Eden, you know? And we know she has hidden intentions and objectives. So with the crossover ending, Cassandra is given this task and it's time to say goodbye to the Greek world and to her odyssey and to explore the world. So she ends, and I don't know if you want to talk me to talk about this, but I think it's Herodotus asks her where she wants to go next.
Yes.
She says Egypt. Yes. And for me,
I know some good stories about Egypt.
Yeah. And for me, that's amazing. And then I'm not going to spoil. I don't know if James wants to, but...
Oh, we're going to go...
After the credits...
We need to go in, full spoilers.
Okay. So after the credits roll...
Can I just say, before you say the next thing, so When you finish Odyssey, the main game, even when you do the DLCs, there are no credits because it's an open world. So you just finish the last quest, open map, do what you want. So it is somewhat unsatisfying. In this story, you have the final conversation between Cassandra and Barnabas and Herodotus. The camera pans out, the music plays, it's really moving. You're like, oh shit, this is it.
Oh no, it's the end.
There are credits. There are end credits, and you've got the original Odyssey song that you first hear in Kefalonia, right at the start, and you're like, oh my god, it was amazing. And I thought, and I sat there for a few minutes just letting the credits roll, thinking, fucking hell, this is brilliant.
Yeah,
I let the credits roll, and I thought, right, I have some other stuff to do. You know, I do have a life as well, and I must get on. I can't wait for these credits to roll forever. I'm really sorry, everyone who was in the credits who I didn't see. So I press the button to skip to the credits or close the credits. Take it away, Sani.
Da-da. I actually waited for all of them to roll because I was terrified I wouldn't see it. Because there was something by then.
Oh, did you? Okay.
I didn't know what. I had no clue. And it takes you to a scene, but it's not even the scene. It's the music.
Oh, suddenly Jesus you Christ, have the music.
AC Origins soundtrack comes in. And, you know, just talking about this, I'm getting goosebumps.
Same.
Origins
again.
Soundtrack comes in and you see this figure, which we know is Cassandra. You don't see her face, I think, but you see her walk and she's in the Library of Alexandria and she goes and she puts a roll of, I don't know, papyrus, but basically the writings of Herodotus on the library in Alexandria. And I think I teared up and I had goosebumps over my body.
I feel it right now, just thinking that scene.
Yes, yeah, same.
Because you're
same.
Right. You've
it
got
was
the sound,
so
you've got
exciting.
The opening sound of Origins. Yeah. You've got a big wide camera shot of the lighthouse, the Pharos of Alexandria. And my jaw dropped. And I thought, what the hell are they doing? Where is this going? And then you've got the Library of Alexandria, where Bayek reunited with Aya in the vaults underneath.
Yeah, it was beautiful.
Yep, thank you. That's the word for it. It was beautiful.
It was beautiful. Yeah, absolutely, absolutely beautiful.
So at some point, I guess it's obvious she lived a long time, but she went to Alexandria when the library was constructed, existing, and she was there. And you know, you have part of me, we'll come on to this point. It might as well come to this point now. It's a natural time to do it. So when Odyssey had finished and I had a great time playing it, I spent a year playing and replaying that game and it was over and all the post-release content was over. And I always thought, oh, I'd love more. I want more Cassandra, more story, more Greek stuff.
Yeah.
And when we got the trailer saying you are getting more Greek stuff, it was fantastic. They closed the story so beautifully. I feel completely satisfied. I don't need any more of Cassandra's story in Greece. I may go back and replay Odyssey. I still dip in every now and then and just do a side quest here or there just because it's fun. But I personally don't need any more of Cassandra's time in Greece because they closed it so nicely.
Beautiful.
I'm still in
I
two minds whether I would want another future crossover of... Again, short story, short series of quests. Do I want a playable Egypt story? Maybe. Mm. Part of me does. And part of me says, actually, the more you reuse Cassandra and have
tricky.
Her popping up, you kind of cheapen.
Loses some,
Do you know what I mean? So I don't know. Although I'd love to see Cassandra meet Amunet, my heart would want it. I'm not sure if it's the right way to use the characters.
Yeah,
what do you think, Sammy?
I agree with you.
Would you want to see more expansion on that Egyptian scene?
I agree with you because when I heard, even before I saw, I was not expecting that post-credit scene. But when she mentions Egypt, I was like, oh my God, Egypt. She's going to Egypt. And I did have a split second thought, what if they're going to do crossover stories where Cassandra meets everyone everywhere? And like, you know, my brain was like, whoa, we're going to get more Edward, you know, more Aya. Anyway, so that was a very split second thought of mine. But upon thinking more about it, I agree with you. I think it would lose some of the shine. It would tire it a bit. I mean, it would have to be very well done, especially because with Valhalla, you know, Valhalla is the current game, so it's easier to fit her there. But how would you now present a crossover in Egypt or in the other places? I don't know
how games are developed, because I don't work in game design.
My
gut instinct is the further back in time you go, the harder it is to kind of update those visual assets and audio assets and reuse them. Having said that, it still blows my mind that they took the time to create and render this cutscene. And now, I appreciate they have all the assets in of the Library of Alexandria, and they obviously mo-capped the actor walking across the stage so they could assemble Cassandra walking through this digital version of the Library of Alexandria. I get that all these assets exist, they're having to create them from scratch, but they still had to do all the rendering and the editing. It's not an insignificant amount of work, but I feel like it would be easier to do sort of crack open Egypt's map and give us a little side quest in Alexandria or Memphis or whatever. Yeah. Whether I'd want it or not, I don't know.
The other question is not just the games, is her character, you know.
Yeah.
Would the stories be very similar? Because after all, she's after these artifacts. And whilst, you know, I would love to see, you know, I don't know, I would love to see a crossover of Cassandra looking for the Shroud of Eden, and then Edward finds it first, because we know the Shroud of Eden the Fry find was found initially by Edward. Oh, of course, would I like to see Edward again in, like, modern graphics? Yes, please.
I mean, a 4K but, Edward. I mean, that we're going to have to turn off the
internet. I'd die. Sorry. Yes, I would die. I would die very much. But I think it could make her more irrelevant, you know, if you see her a lot, especially if it's not well done, which I think I would rather not see her like you. I know. I'm not quite sure. It's a tricky one, because I feel like it could do more damage than good.
I'm the same. It's a tricky one, isn't it? I felt like, as an Odyssey fan, I feel like the story's given me closure to the story, to Barnabas's life, to Herodotus's life. The more you use Cassandra, the less special she is. Perhaps that's the way of looking at it. And it's best left as is. I don't know, Declan. I know you haven't played Odyssey for a while because you haven't had access to it, but would you want her to reappear in crossover stories? Or, you know, there's like a Black Flag remaster, and as Edward walks across the seafront in Havana, there's a little Cassandra in the background just looking, keeping an eye on stuff. I don't know. I think what I would say is, then, but this is not a criticism of the crossover story we've created, not at all, because I think the writing, the dialogue, the quests we were given, like the quest design, were all superb. I think it was so well done. And maybe talented writers can create more stories like of this quality and this kind of emotional connection for future crossovers. Maybe this is the only crossover we'll ever get. Who knows? But I would say, when those credits rolled, I was happy. And I thought,
same.
And then, of course, we got that post-credit scene. And
Beautiful. That was absolutely beautiful.
Yeah. I mean, the real question, Sani, is, so are you planning to play Origins again soon? Did it make you think, I could just go back and explore Egypt for a bit?
Oh, maybe. You know, Origins is the only AC game, not counting the Ezio trilogy. Counting the Ezio trilogy, but it's the only AC game from the ones I played that I only played once. All the others I repeated at least twice.
Same for me. Well, not including Val. Actually, that's not the same for me. I see what you mean now. So you've played the whole story, but you've never gone back and done it again.
No, I've never. And I also have not completed everything, and I'm a completionist. I like, you know, there's a little shiny thing on the map. I need to go.
If I
go into the whys, you know, I'll be here all night. If I go into the why, because I have a lot of, I have some feelings about Origins. It's a beautiful game, and yes, the soundtrack, you know, it just takes you places.
Oh, God, yeah. Origins is one I definitely want. I have started a replay of it. I'm about halfway through, although I started it in December this time last year, and I played it not regularly, maybe a couple of times a week, just gradually making my way through the story. Currently, Bayek is in Memphis, and he's been chilling in Memphis for about 3 months. I haven't been back in a long time, but I would like to play it through again. And Partly because I had this feeling when I finished it the first time that, although it's a very good game and a very good story, I felt there were some issues with the story. Now, what we know now is that the story got changed significantly in development.
All the Aya business. Yeah.
Indeed. But I just remember coming away from the game thinking, what?
Yeah.
what did I miss?
But you see, even when I say I have issues, you know, my issues are not really issues, they're just personal preferences. I'm not a fan of revenge stories, no matter how valid they are. So it's not, the story doesn't appeal to me personally. So it's, you know, then I have other opinions on how you know, the time period and so on. They're just that, their opinions based on preferences, because it is an excellent game. It was the first AC game that I completed entirely, finished.
Yeah.
I don't count the half AC2 I done years ago. And I love it, and I love Egypt, I love ancient Egypt, so I do love it, but there's issues that make me struggle to replay it, basically. That's it.
Understood. Declan, did you have any more questions for Sani and I as the two people tonight who finished the Odyssey story?
I don't know, but I did want to put on the point of crossovers. I personally don't feel that, I know she can and she should in Transmedia and maybe future games, but I don't think Concentra should ever appear in any games that have already been released prior to Valhalla. Yeah. And my logic for that is the pyramid at the very end of the game where Pythagoras is showing all the assassins and what they're doing. I have this mental image that she knows time has to work in a certain order. She can't intervene. She knows what the assassin's going to do. She's seen glimpses of it. So in my head, as we didn't see Valhalla then because it wasn't planned, my head, I've just got that any games after 1 to Origins, she'll never intervene with them characters because she knows their lives have got to leave a certain way. She can't get involved. So I think she's just happy chilling with Eivor, the best friends.
I look forward to, I don't know whether we'll be able to do it this week for sort of a New Year's Eve recording or whether we'll do it very early in January, but I look forward to the Valhalla conversation, Declan, you've got Valhalla available, so you're able to finish that half of the crossover.
I think I may have that for half finished tomorrow.
Okay.
I'm
good.
I'm
desperate to talk about it, but yes.
I've played 2.5 hours of it already.
And you must be
near the end.
Yeah, it's not long. And again, the map is small. There's some treasure pieces to collect. There's a few world events, but there's not a lot on Sky, which suits me fine. I don't need big maps and lots to do. So, I'm looking forward to that.
So I think that's all we've got time for today.
Yeah. Well, unless we should just ask our guest if she wants to make any final points as well.
No. Like I said, it's I love the crossover. Can't wait to play Valhalla. Can't wait to talk about it as well. I just wanted to say thank you for inviting me to be in the podcast.
It's our pleasure.
Yeah, it was lovely. It was lovely.
So I hope everyone's enjoyed this, and I can't wait to hear everyone's thoughts on the Odyssey crossover. So please reach out to us on Twitter at @ACLetsTalk and at @JamesTillyQuid. If you have any thoughts and you want to get in touch with me through emails instead of Twitter, you can email me at assassinscreedletstalk@gmail.com. Emails are always open, and I'm always interested to hear what you say. So thank you again to Sani for joining, and
thank you.
I'm excited to talk about the Valhalla one soon.
Me too.
And to everyone listening to this on Christmas Eve, Merry Christmas. Hope you have a fantastic day, and in the words of the immortal Jacob Fry, what's this? Is it an assassin Christmas?
Yes, it is. Happy Christmas, everyone.
I'll see you all next week.
Bye.